Today, I'm going to catch you up on the most important developments in the world of pop culture. Illuminate, confirm. That's right, we've got the very popular TMZ format show today. We're going to talk about occult symbolism and connections with your favorite celebrities. Kanye West is on that nitrous, which makes us talk about some dark forces at the hotel with which that is associated. We talk about the Willy Wonka experience in Scotland. Illuminate, confirm. Jay-Z and Tupac with some homosexual claims being thrown around. Bill Skarsgård's Nosferatu demonic conjurations. Matthew Perry's arrest were made. And I dug up a very interesting 33rd degree Freemasonic reference. Nema Cohen had a pagan summer solstice party for the elites in PA. Marina Abramovich did a pagan performance. Rapper Fulio was murdered. Katy Perry said she's opening portals. Bebe Rexha and Ray J threatened to expose the Illuminate. And we break down the symbolism of Eminem's Death of Slim Shady album all on today's show. It's a big one. It's a banger. It's going to be long, so get comfortable. I should also note that today is one of these, it's an extended bonus episode for the month of August, only for supporters. Don't be a free feed loser. Sign up today. You already know the drill. You already know the link is in the show notes. I don't need to keep telling you. I don't need to keep telling you about how you can get free books, early access, ad-free experience, bonus content every single month like this, unlocking hundreds of bonus episodes over the years, as well as the Twin Peaks Grey Lodge that we're probably three quarters of the way through, but it's never too late to catch up. And it'll always be there waiting for you when you're ready. I don't need to tell you that the most popular option is patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. The easiest option is Apple Premium if you're using the Apple Podcast app. Or your cheapest option, if you know how to copy and paste an RSS feed, IlluminatiWatcher.com. Hit the VIP on the menu tab, and you can compare all three options. My goodness. Links are always in the show notes. So, housekeeping first. Your boy's been making some big moves, okay? I'm campaigning to be your red pill daddy. RPD moves. I'm making RPD moves. Some big ones. Me and Shane Cashman, maybe you've heard of him. Very famous guy. He's got a podcast called The Inverted World. And, Tales from the Inverted World. I'd look on the app. It just flashed on my notifications. Tales from the Inverted World podcast. It's on YouTube. It's on all the podcast places. We linked up. We tried to do a live a week before on Sunday, whatever that day was. And it was at the beginning on the end. We went back and forth. It was like 10, 15 minutes. We were talking, blah, blah, blah. He said, okay, we're going to do the intro. I said, okay, sounds good. He does the intro and he starts talking about Bob from Twin Peaks, the evil entity Bob. And it immediately shut down the audio interface. It blew it up. And if you're a Twin Peaks fan, you'll know that Fire Walk With Me, they talk a lot about electricity, okay, about the entities. Speaking of which, Fire Walk With Me, I did a 3-hour analysis deep dive of Fire Walk With Me and the missing pieces. It is going, well, by the time you're hearing this, it's already on my YouTube and Rumbles. All right, I'm going to start actively maintaining my public Rumble page again. I've decided that, because the video is always a high source of drama in my life. And as you know, tier 2 on my Patreon and VIP section gets you access to the ad-free version of the video version of the show on an unlisted private Rumble link that no one can see but you. And I've decided I'm going to keep updating the public free feed loser video feeds for YouTube and Rumble. You're just going to get the videos about a month late. That's generally speaking. And you're going to deal with ads and it's going to be annoying. And you're saying, man, I need to sign up and just support my red pill daddy for paving the way. And you sign up at tier 2 and you'll get the video version, which I lowered from $20 to $10 because $20 is outrageous, I think. Anyway, so Shane Cashman, Tales from the Inverted World. It's on YouTube. It was a banger of a show. I was on ultra high tea that day. You'll watch and you'll be like, yeah, this is ultra high tea, Isaac. I don't know what happened. Everything clicked in. That tea cream kicked in. The tea shots kicked in. And, man, I was on one. But yeah, we break it all down, man. It was a good one. Then I wrote this is old news. I did a whole Substack. I don't know if you know him on Substack as well. You can find links to all of my other ventures at allmylinks.com/IsaacW. All right, link in the show notes. And I did a whole Substack about Bill Gates being the Antichrist from the Omen film. Pretty good. We talked about it. Because in Omen 2, there's this whole sort of Bill Gates type plot line. I didn't know it. I'd never seen Omen 2. I'm also, speaking of Omen, I'm on Letterboxd. If you're on the Letterboxd film review app, I'm on there. I did some great film reviews this weekend. I watched Miller's Girl, which I enjoyed thoroughly. I don't know why people hated it, but I'm also a perv. So I watched The Watchers and Immaculate, which blew my mind. I was like, bro, I didn't know this movie was so insane. A lot of people hated Immaculate. I was like, I don't know why. If you're a horror movie person, I thought it was fantastic. Now, sacrilegious, yes, of course. I mean, of course, but that's the theme of the movie, right? Anyway, so I'm on Letterboxd too. And what else? Big news. I was part of a documentary. I can't tell you much about it, but Tony Merkel from the Confessionals podcast, maybe you've heard of him. We filmed for a documentary. There's not a whole lot I can say. It's, you know, shrouded in mystery a little bit, but I'll give you the title, and this will tell you a lot. Because it was me and Tony and Joel and Joel Thomas and a whole bunch of people were working on this thing, and it's insane. I can't wait for them to finish this thing. I don't know when it's going to be finished. I'm thinking maybe on Christmas time we'll get a nice Christmas gift, but it's called Crowley's Melonheads Children of the Beast. All right. So more to come on that. And then I mentioned these on email because I did these a couple weeks ago. I was on Richard Syrett's show yet again, talking about the British Royals. I did House and Habits podcast, you know, the huge Substack House and Habit. I did that with a show about the Olympics. And me and Jamie Hanshaw linked up on her YouTube, Out of This World, number 46. And it's a full, we're walking through the full history of the alien agenda. All right. We're going to do part three. I don't know when, here soon. It's my problem. I'm the schedule problem, not Jamie. It's me. And yeah, so sign up for my email list. It's free, IlluminatiWatcher.com. I don't know. I put links everywhere for the free email list. Go to start here, and you can scroll down and sign up for my email list. And I'll send you my first book for free, A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory. I send it to you for free. If you sign up for the free email newsletter, which it's just once a week, I send an email with updates of what I'm doing and new shows and things like that. And you're the first to hear about merchandise that I dropped, new shirts. I got some shirts left. I think I sold out of a couple sizes just this last week. So you know where to go. You know what to do. Let's get into it. Kanye West. Ye is allegedly on that nitrous. I didn't know that people did this as a drug. I'm not a big drug user. I think it's I don't condone drug use. I think it's a bad thing, right? I think I don't need to tell you why. it clouds your vision. It clouds your consciousness. It disrupts whatever this experience. I'm not saying you should never do it, and like I'm just saying like people get addicted and like that it screws them. So that's yay. Apparently the dentist, allegedly, what I'm reading, the dentist who gave him that titanium grill, like he looks like Jaws from 007, is allegedly supplying nitrous oxide. He's like a big muscle head dude, from what I saw on TMZ. But I'm going to read to you from Milo Yiannopoulos's. He posted this to Twitter, X. I don't know when I'm officially going to call it X again, or not again. So I read this on page6.com. This is Dr. Thomas Connolly speaking with a group chat with Milo and Ye. Doctor says, this needs to be a long-term goal. Get recreational nitrous legalized. Meanwhile, we mastered the delivery system with a 2-year head start. And I believe this is Milo's blue bubble that says, surely you are joking. Prolonged misuse of nitrous causes birth defects, problems with B12, your spinal cord disintegrates. Why would anyone want to introduce another drug to an already depressed, addicted, demoralized, and apathetic population of dopamine slaves? Sounds like Milo knows what's going on here, right? Yay says, can I have the nitrous today? Tom, that's the doctor. Tom, you said you'd bring them by today, checking in. And then the doctor, Tom, writes, are you at the chateau? Yes, can do. Now, Ron and I are actually going to dive deep into Yay here. I've talked about him so many times in the past. He's been giving us a lot of occult symbolism over the years. But let's talk about that chateau. Where is he? What are we talking about? We're talking about the Chateau Marmont. And it has quite the history, okay? John Belushi died there, and it inspired copycats of celebrities trying to kill themselves on drug overdoses there. It's crazy. And I had to read more about it at the New York Post. It says it was originally an apartment building, but in the 50s had evolved into a hotel that functioned as what some Levy called an open city. It was Casablanca. People secretly had affairs, took drugs, and licked wounds from botched relationships. They also broke societal barriers. Well, that's an interesting way of putting it. Broke societal barriers. That's referencing antinomianism. All right. We talked about this in the past. I learned about it reading Lords of the Left-Hand Path. A lot of Satanists and occultists subscribe to this. This is why they're into doing things that we're like, why would you do that? Why are you messing with kids? Why are you murdering people? It's proof of breaking societal barriers. In fact, his tragic demise inspired... This is talking about Belushi, okay? His tragic demise inspired fellow famous druggies, including artist Jean-Michel Basquiat, to ask to stay in the Belushi bungalow. Rick James did so, and Levy told the Post, overdosed himself. He had to be revived while staying at the hotel. As the 1930s studio boss Harry Cohn, who kept a suite at the hotel for extramarital antics with starlets, once told his Columbia Pictures actors, if you must get into trouble, do it at the Marmont. Jim Morrison once jumped off a balcony and was known to leave bloody sheets in his bedroom for the maids to clean up. James Taylor shot a heroin in front of Carly Simon in his room. James Taylor? The been on the desert with a horse with no name guy? The Yacht Rock guy? I didn't know he was doing drugs. Led Zeppelin raced through the halls on bellhop trolleys. Well, come on. It's not that big of a deal. Marvin Gaye died, owing the hotel $15,000. Director Nicholas Ray retreated to the Chateau Marmont after walking in on his wife, actress Gloria Graham, having sex with his son from a previous marriage. But Ray, who was also spotted slow dancing in his bungalow with another man, found plenty of comfort at his new home. Levy describes Ray as being out of his skull and throwing regular Sunday afternoon pool parties that attracted a mix of studio execs and kids from nearby Hollywood High. Among the kids hanging out with the director in his bungalow was 16-year-old Natalie Wood, one of the stars of the 1955 film Rebel Without a Cause. Now, I had to look her up. I didn't know who the director was. I knew who Natalie Wood was. Apparently, she died at age 43 from drowning in the Pacific Ocean. And there were conspiracies that her husband drowned her. Said in 1981, at the age of 43, Wood drowned in the Pacific during a break from production of her would-be comeback film, Brainstorm. She was with her husband, Wagner, and Brainstorm co-star, Christopher Walken. I can't do a Christopher Walken voice. Sorry. The events surrounding her death. You gotta get with Jay Dyer. He can do them way better than I could. The events surrounding her death have been the subject of conflicting witness statements, prompting the L.A. County Sheriff's Department, under the instruction of the coroner's office, to list her cause of death as drowning and other undetermined factors in 2012. In 2018, Wagner was named as a person of interest in the ongoing investigation into her death. That's from 1981 she died. They're still trying to figure it out. Now, all of this is curious because the director of that film, Brainstorm, was Douglas Turnbull, who worked on 2001 A Space Odyssey with our favorite director, Stanley Kubrick. He also worked on Close Encounters of the Third Kind, all right, with Spielberg and Aliens and all that stuff. Back to the article here. Despite a 27-year age difference, The two were having a torrid affair, even as Wood was also sleeping with her co-star, Dennis Hopper. Reportedly, Hopper would go on to host orgies at the chateau. Nick and Dennis were both having sex with Natalie, said Levy, adding that Ray stated his jealousy by cutting Hopper's screen time. Ultimately, Natalie chose to be with Ray. Hey, fellas, she's 16. Let's pump the brakes a little bit here. What are we doing? You know? Insane. And Dennis Hopper, of course, you know, in Lynch's Blue Velvet, in Curtis Harrington's Night Tide, which depicted Marjorie Cameron. Crazy stuff. So Natalie's Wikipedia details even worse rumors about the Marmont. It says, during a 12-part podcast about Wood's life in July 2018, Wood's sister Lana stated that Wood was raped as a teenager, and she also stated that the attack had occurred inside the Chateau Marmont during an audition that went on for hours. According to Professor Cynthia Lucia, who studied the claim, Wood's rape was brutal and violent. In 2021, a year after the death of Kirk Douglas, Lana published the memoir Little Sister, My Investigation into the Mysterious Death of Natalie Wood, and identified Douglas as Wood's alleged assailant. Crazy, huh? So that same year, rumors flew that Benicio del Toro and Scarlett Johansson had hooked up in a hotel elevator after the Oscars. More recently, stars have been kicked out of the chateau for their bad behavior. After winning at the Screen Actors Guild Awards in 2006, Heath Ledger was surreptitiously filmed using cocaine on the hotel's front balcony. He died 2 years later. Britney Spears reportedly was banned in 2007 for boorish table manners. Now, it says she was banned, but she was actually spotted there in May of 2024. So, because people were saying she was having a nervous breakdown. Lindsay Lohan was booted. In February, Jay-Z and Beyonce threw an Oscars bash in the Chateau's garage, redone to resemble a luxe lounge. Revelers such as Jamie Foxx, Rihanna, and Leonardo DiCaprio feasted on caviar and swigged Ace of Spades. The hotel has been immortalized in songs like Lana Del Rey's Off to the Races. Yada, yada, yada. Okay, here we go. But even the most outrageous fictions could not live up to the reality of what's gone down there, including Billy Idol trashing his room before standing buck naked on his balcony. As Levy said, the Chateau Marmont was the hotel where you could do what you wanted. And isn't that telling? Do what you wanted. You know what we're talking about. Do what thou wilt. Aleister Crowley, the phrase they put at the entrance to the Hellfire Caves where they did satanic, pagan, orgy sexy times. It's all right there. Moving on, Matthew Perry. Recall we did two episodes on Matthew Perry in 2023 when he died. Questioning, was he a blood sacrifice? Was he murdered for the Illuminati? Confirm. Remember, we talked about how he beat up Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. And there's one thing I know about nerds. When they get some power, that's when they take revenge. All right? Remember how we talked about in his memoir, Matthew Perry, he said he made the Faustian bargain to be famous. And that's how he got the role in Friends. And question if he should have done it. His literal words, quote, that Faustian prayer I made was a stupid one, the prayer of a child. It was not based on anything real, but it became real. I have the money, the recognizability, and the near-death experiences to prove it. So, then he dies, right? And then we had all those cryptic Batman posts before he died. And boy, I didn't see this twist coming. I'm going to read you from CNN. Communist News Network. Five individuals have been charged in connection with the 2023 death of actor Matthew Perry. The charges announced Thursday morning at a news conference in LA come after investigators say they uncovered an underground network of drug dealers and suppliers they allege are responsible for distributing the ketamine, a potentially deadly drug that killed Perry. Now, if you recall, side note here, folks, I'm going to put a link in the show notes. If you recall, I discussed publicly, like a real hero, about how I went through ketamine therapy and my experience with it. And it actually was very helpful. I'm going to put a link. And I did this on my other show, Breaking Social Norms with my wife. It's a very raunchy show. So if you're not into raunch, please don't bother. We cuss and we talk about opinion-based things, and it gets kind of wild sometimes. All right, it's not for everybody, and that's okay if it's not you. But we did a whole, I think, 2 episodes on my ketamine experience because it's wild. And again, I don't use drugs, but I say that, and then the next breath, I'm like, and then I use drugs. No, that was a different situation, right? It's like in a medical, sterile environment. It's not like partying. It's for my own reasons, right? What I'm saying is I don't condone illegal drug use for parties or whatever. But the ketamine experience was wild. It was very much a psychedelic experience of the most extreme kind. And when I did it, I thought, who in the hell would do this for recreational? Now, granted, I was on some like mega high doses. Like, you do full ego death, full dissociation from reality. It's insane. And it blew my mind. The first time I did it, it literally blew my mind. I mean, you lose complete sense of self. Anyways, I'd talk about it for probably 3 hours if you want to know more about it. So when I saw Matthew Perry died from ketamine, I was like, oh, no. Because I thought he died like going to the clinic, but apparently it was like he was doing it illegally underground. So I was like, whew, okay. The defendants include 2 doctors, Perry's live-in personal assistant, and a person referred to by authorities as the Ketamine Queen, according to a press release, blah, blah, blah. They took advantage of Mr. Perry's addiction issues. They knew what they were doing was wrong. 3 of the 5 have reached a plea agreement already. The other 2 defendants, Dr. Salvador Plasencia and Jasveen Sanga, who Estrada said ran what amounted to a drug-selling emporium in her home, were indicted. Estrada said that over 2 months, from September to October 23, because Perry died at the end of October during the Hunter's Moon, if you recall, right before Halloween, Perry was distributed approximately 20 vials of ketamine that cost him roughly $55,000. Defendant Plasencia saw this as an opportunity to profit off of Mr. Perry. He wrote in a text message in September 23, I wonder how much this moron will pay. He also stated in text messages he wanted to be Mr. Perry's sole source of supply. Terrible. Now I'm going to read you from TMZ. Jasveen Sanga, the alleged ketamine queen, arrested in connection to Perry's death, is well-versed in the world of crime, thanks to her obsession with the mafia. Before she was arrested, yada, 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 Jasveen was a mafia superfan who created her own website paying tribute to the life of organized crime. So that's the ketamine queen. She was into the mafia. Now let's go over to page 6. I had to sort of go around various websites to get the full story. It's annoying, I know. Let's see. There's the 20 vials. Yes, yes, yes. Department of Justice said in a press release that Iwamaza admitted to repeatedly injecting Perry with ketamine without medical training, including multiple injections the day he died. He pled guilty on August 7th to 1 count of conspiracy to distribute ketamine, causing death, and faces 15 years in prison. Iwamaza stated in his LinkedIn profile he worked with Perry for more than 25 years. He wrote in his bio, I thrive in chaotic situations which call for order. And that's our Illuminati confirmed. That's our order out of chaos is what he's saying. And it's the motto in Freemasonry of the 33rd degree. It's connected to the phrase light from darkness, right? Because to these Gnostics, Luciferians, they believe that you need darkness for there to be light. That's why they lean into antinomianism and debauchery. Okay, and it's believed to have come from, now the phrase order out of chaos, is believed to come from a division of Freemasonry that was between the Northern and Southern jurisdictions in the early 1800s. And if you go to universalfreemasonry.org, it details the symbolic meaning. It says the first clue to the more profound meaning and significance of this phrase is the origin of its correlate, Lux in Tenebris. This phrase comes to us from the Latin translation of the Gospel of John, in which it is said, the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. While Ordo Ab Caeo can be traced to the early 19th century, this other phrase is obviously much older and carries similar meaning. What is this universe made of? There are many ways to answer that, and one of them is that it is made of gradients of order and chaos. We can see in history and in our own lives that these are not two separate things, but are both a continuum, a dynamic process of change. As chaos ensues, old orders are broken down to allow new ones to emerge. Like yin and yang, death and rebirth, order and chaos follow from and give birth to one another in an ever-renewing cycle of creation and evolution. And we talk about this all the time on this show, right? The Eros Thanatos death and rebirth cycle. And that political figures pay a lot of attention to this, right? They're really into this idea. That's why we talked about this in 2016, right? Trump was the chaos candidate. And the whole idea, and you could apply this to, it's nonpartisan, right? They both subscribe to this idea that they're going to bring in order to the chaos that we're living in. So they both, you'll notice, of course, during this election season, they'll be like, oh my God, everything's terrible. You know, like Trump's team, everything's terrible. They're mass murderers everywhere you look. Everyone's going to kill you, and I'm here to police it and make sure all is right. I will fix everything. And then, you know, Kamala is like, she'll do the same thing, right? I saw she had a thing where she was like, oh my God, the grocery prices are out of control. I will step in and fix it. And it's like, well, okay. I mean, anyway, I'll stay non-political. But anyway, chaos and order. And that's why they follow the Generations book. We talked about the Great Reset, right? Similar idea. They were reading this generation books from the 90s, and it talks about different cycles of mankind. That's why Steve Bannon and the traditionalists, that's why they love Trump. They're like, we will use him as an agent to amp up the chaos so we can instill the new order, right? That new order is the traditionalism philosophy. Willy Wonka experience. Maybe you've heard of it. It was in Scotland, and it went viral. Let's see here. It was an event that was meant to emulate walking. It was around the time, I think, that Willy Wonka movie was popular with Timothy Chalamet. I enjoyed it. But I'm a stand for Willy Wonka. I'll enjoy any Willy Wonka. It had, like, this enchanted garden, an imagination lab, a twilight tunnel. And the artwork promised that this was everything you could ever want. It's like walking through the Willy Wonka world. But in reality, it turned out it was more of an empty warehouse with some random actors. They had one called The Unknown with an Eyes Wide Shut mask. It was bizarre. And it was a total fraud, apparently. And a lot of people, what they're not talking about is that the people that put this on, their company was called the House of Illuminati. All right. And there's a Rolling Stone article titled Huckster Behind Willy Wonka Event Also Sells AI-Written Vaccine Conspiracy Books. I don't know if you guys heard this yet. I've been sitting on this one for a while. The event was organized... This is from the Rolling Stone. The event was organized by House of Illuminati, a company registered to Billy Call, which claims to offer unparalleled immersive experiences. Rolling Stone concluded that the organization's websites and event descriptions were likely written by an AI chatbot, such as ChatGPT. Cole had also registered several other companies and claimed to work as a consultant for the now-defunct brand Empowerity. In 2021, he co-directed a now-defunct Glasgow food bank. And in 2023, he independently published 17 AI-generated books on various topics, including vaccine conspiracy theories. My goodness. Now, the books are alleged to be written by AI. And if you go to the Amazon page, you can still see some of these books. I believe it. It sounds like it. And a lot of people are trashing on the reviews. I've never read them. Apparently, they're pretty bad. Now, it is very curious that it's called the House of Illuminati, and it's based out of Scotland, right? Because Scotland is about the ultimate in Masonic locations. It's where you get the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. You know, speculative Freemasonry comes from here, basically. Let's talk about Jay-Z and Tupac. Because all of a sudden, Diddy's out of the news, right? The attempted assassination of Trump effectively made Diddy able to sleep at night, all right? Which is curious. Did anyone check and see if he was behind it, maybe? Supposedly, he was behind the assassination of Tupac. Allegedly. There was this 17-year-old clip making the rounds of Tupac of him when he was going to, I don't know, some kind of art school as a teenager. And a lot of people were like, this isn't Tupac. Like, they're used to the gangbang and Tupac, right? But none of it was surprising to me. His whole story was like that. I was a big Tupac fan. I'd watched all these documentaries before about his upbringing. And, you know, he was raised by his mom. She was a very ultra-liberal Black Panther. He went to art schools. He was a drama nerd. Okay? And he put on this gangster persona, and part of it was, you know, he lived in rough areas. He lived in Baltimore and Oakland. So, I mean, I think he observed, or maybe he lived some of that lifestyle. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. But he did have an art background. He was a drama nerd for sure. He knew how to act. And this persona he put on sort of became his real life. Now, and a lot of people are very confused by this. And I'm like, yeah. Like, I could take on 17-year-old Tupac. I could take him out. This isn't the same Tupac we all saw when he was an adult, spitting in cops' faces. And he was a dangerous, dangerous man. He was shot many times. Shot by the police. Shot by Diddy, allegedly. Anyway, Tupac, he called out Jay-Z for being gay in a song called All Out with it was Tupac and the Outlaws. I'd never heard it before. And because I wasn't really into the Outlaws too much, I was like, you know, the rappers get big and they want to like put some of their friends on, and that's fine. I get that. It doesn't always work though. It didn't grab me. And the lyrics say, come hell or high water down to slaughter opposers. Just another lost soul stuck calling Jehovah. You got a lot of nerve to play me, another gay rapper, busting caps at Jay-Z. And this was his last track. It's rumored to be the last song that he recorded, apparently on September 6th, 1996. And the original version contains a sample of Marvin Gaye's Inner City Blues. And the outro contains, this is what Genius says, the outro contains a cutthroat diss towards Jay-Z as well as Mobb Deep, Biggie, and Puffy. And I don't know if I caught all that, but whatever. The Jay-Z thing is in there. And the reason I bring that up is because a lot of people have been talking about Jay-Z. Where's Jay-Z and Beyonce? They've been relatively quiet. Now, I saw that Beyonce was at the Olympics, but before that, she had released a country album and virtually zero press for a new album, which was insane. All right. It's because Jay-Z and Diddy are besties, and they're all trying to lay real low. And there's been claims that Jay-Z's into the gay stuff like Diddy, like closeted gay. Right? Not that there's a problem with being gay, but these guys are closeted gay, is allegedly the thing. And that's why Jay-Z is emulating Basquiat so hard, because Basquiat was a gay man, or a bisexual man, I think. Interesting developments, because then it does play into the idea that Beyonce is in this marriage as an illusion, as a puppet, or whatever. Because remember the Beyonce at the basketball game with her head bobbing all crazy, like she's MK Ultra blissed out? More to come on that, I'm sure. Bill Skarsgård, he is playing Nosferatu, which is like one of the OG vampire movies. I actually don't like the original Nosferatu. I know that's probably heresy to say because I'm a horror movie guy. I thought it was boring. But I will be watching the new one. The aesthetics of Nosferatu are off the charts. I mean, it's good aesthetics, but the original movie, I mean, it's like a silent movie from 1500s. But they're redoing it. And Robert Eggers is redoing it. I love Robert Eggers. He did The Lighthouse and The Witch, both outstanding movies. I love me some abstract art house horror movies, all right? So he's doing Nosferatu. Bill Skarsgård, the guy who plays Pennywise in It. I think it's... Is that the right guy? There's two Skarsgårds that act. But you won't believe what happened to Bill Skarsgård during the filming of this movie. Shout out to Dylan. Dylan, from, who I kind of met at the Vegas lecture. Kind of. He was there, and I didn't realize that we didn't talk. I wish we would have talked. Dylan, where were you? Come talk to me next time. When will there be a next time? I don't know. I alluded to the idea that might be the one and only I ever do, and I don't know. It might be. Might go down in history as the only one I ever do. I was talking about doing one in Salt Lake. My schedule got all screwed up. I was going to do it in the fall. Then I was talking in the winter, and now I'm like, I don't know if I can do it. I had too much on my plate. So anyways, you go to EW.com. Bill Skarsgård, talking about playing this demon, Nosferatu, said, "It took its toll. It was like conjuring pure evil. It took a while for me to shake off the demon that had been conjured inside of me." Now you're talking about invoking. Right? When you talk about entities and evil, you can invoke from within or you can evoke from without. The profile revealed that Skarsgård makeup for the character took 3 to 6 hours every day, and that he trained with an opera singer to maximize the depth of his voice. "I do not think people are going to recognize me in it. He's gross, but it is very sexualized. It's playing with a sexual fetish about the power of the monster and what appeal has to you. Hopefully, you'll get a little bit attracted by it and disgusted by your attraction at the same time." This sounds good, folks. I like something that makes me think. Eggers, who also did, you know, The Witch, The Lighthouse, all right, and directed Skarsgård brother Alexander in The Northman. Okay, that's, this Skarsgård's the guy who plays Pennywise in It, is in Nosferatu. Said that the actor's commitment to the character exceeded his expectations. "I remember early on him trying to talk to me about what it meant to be a dead sorcerer. And I'm into some pretty heavy occult shit, but he was on a different level." Robert Eggers, Illuminate confirmed. I don't know if you remember. Let me put a link in the show notes here. Link, The Witch, The Lighthouse. I don't know if you remember. I did shows in March of 2020. I was very excited about it. Little did I know what was coming around the corner. I did a show about The Witch and then immediately a show about The Lighthouse. And my theory was Robert Eggers was into some heavy occult shit. That was my theory. And I just proved it. I didn't realize it. This is all serendipitous. I copied and pasted the article, but I only read that first part. I didn't realize he said this. But my theory about The Witch in The Lighthouse, I said it was a Baphomet ritual. You had the female and the masculine. The witch was the feminine. The lighthouse was the masculine. And they were brought together. It was the opposing polarities. And I was right. Oh, my God. Back to Robert. I'll put a link in the show notes. If you didn't listen to those, if you haven't seen those movies, first off, you might hate them. I don't know. It's not for everyone. But I loved both of them immensely. It's what made me like Robert Pattinson, because he was in The Lighthouse with what's old crazy boy from Wild at Heart, Willem Dafoe. Somewhere in that second makeup test, I was like, he's become the character. It was eerie to see in the footage. Anything he did, anywhere he turned or looked, you were like, he's got it. So basically, they demonically conjured up an evil dead sorcerer for this movie, and it's apparently going to be in the movie. So, Illuminate confirm. Next, Nemacolin Summer Solstice Party. Nemacolin is some ultra elite place in PA in the middle of BFE PA. I never heard of it. But apparently they do a party every year on the solstice. Let's see. It was June 21st to the 23rd this year. Some celebrities involved. Lionel Richie. Jimmy Fallon. People like Jimmy Fallon? I don't like the guy. I don't know why. I think he's too happy, I think. I don't trust people that that pretend to be that happy. Machine Gun Kelly. Megan Fox. Lady Gaga. Anderson Cooper. Michael Bublé. Nick Cannon. Nick Cannon didn't bring his 15 children with him, apparently. Now, there's a TikTok creator named Melissa Williams, who, this is where I heard some of the stuff from. She apparently lives in a nearby town called Uniontown, PA. And she claims that they have very high crime rates, postulating that this Nemacolin Summer Solstice Party is harnessing evil energy, occult energy. And if I go to the, and we'll come back to it, but the Nemacolin website has a gallery, and I'm going to put the photos on the Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt, like and subscribe. They've got the black and white tessellating floors of the Freemason lodges. It has the eight-spoked wheel. That's the Star of Ishtar. It's got an owl statue. And at the bottom of the webpage, it says, Real Life Magic. Very occult. The founder was Joseph Hardy. He seemed pretty normal. He even said that he wanted... wait a minute, sorry. He even said he wanted to die. Why did I write that? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Sorry. I'm very unprofessional. He said he wanted to die broke by helping other people out, which I love that. I admire. I mean, I wouldn't be that way. I'm too scared. But I, you know, there's something about me. I really appreciate and respect bohemian lifestyles. I think the people who disavow money, it blows my mind, and I super respect it, because I'm like, dude, I think that's the way we're supposed to live, man. Money is the root of all evil. But like, I'm too scared. I didn't grow up with money, and I'm always like worried about retirement, and I'm like, I don't know, because like, you know, we got no kids, and I'm always like, dude, I gotta have money to get into a decent retirement home, because no one's taking care of us. Anyway, so like when people say stuff, when people do that, it's like the world of Twin Peaks. It really opened my, you know, there's this thing with the Twin Peaks actors. Like a lot of them are very like liberal hippie type folks who are very unattached to money and fame. And I'm like, man, I respect that. I respect that. I think that's the way we're supposed to live, is what I'm saying. I think Christ even was like trying to be, have that vibe, right? Anyway, this guy, Joseph Hardy, he died on his birthday. He lived to the age of 100. Died on his birthday, January 7th, 2023. So, I mean, that's kind of cool. But the Joseph Hardy was rich because he was part of the 84 Lumber family. That's a PA thing. I remember seeing that logo growing up. But why do they do this? Well, because in paganism, the solstice represents the maximum power from the solar god, from the sun. And what we're talking about is penis power, the phallus, the obelisk, at high noon, right? And on the solstice, on midsummer, you get the maximal day of sunlight. This is at when the sun god is at its maximum power. It's the longest day of the year. It's the peak of summer. And on the eighth Sabbath cycle of witchcraft on the wheel of the year, it's part of the cycle. You can see they track the life and death of these sort of, I don't know, pagan sky gods. It's an eight-pointed star. It's got eight axles on this wheel. And this is the peak. There's peak moments. There's the solstices and the equinoxes. All right? Because the winter solstice is in December. It's when there's minimal light, right? When the dark is at the maximum. So, you know, that's, or Yule, right? In pagan, to speak in pagan. But anyways, Nemecolon, they had this party on Midsummer, which is a movie as well, right? We talked about Midsummer on this show years ago. Nemecolon did, in fact, have sun god themes, as you can see. I mean, obviously, it's the name of it. But the whole reason I'm bringing it up is because, basically, we have the example of elites and celebrities participating in parties that have occult activity. So there you go. Speaking of the solstice, Marina Abramovich, everyone's favorite adrenochrome witch, she did another performance. Rob slid in those DMs, told me about this. She was at Glastonbury. All right. We talked about Glastonbury a lot in Twin Peaks towards the end of season two, the season two wrap up, because it's related to the mythology of King Arthur. And spoiler alert, I'm hacking through season three right now for the Grey Lodge, and the King Arthur mythology does not go away, because that's part of the what's going on in Twin Peaks. I can't say more than that. But boy, oh boy, have I made some findings doing research for season three that's going to blow your mind. Did I solve Twin Peaks? No. No one solves Twin Peaks. It's very subjective. But I found some heavy-duty occult references that I know Mr. Mark Frost read. I know he did. It absolutely is in the story. And I've never heard anyone else talk about it. It's very obscure. That's probably why. But, you know, let me guide you. Come join us. Okay, so Marina Abramovich, she was at this Glastonbury Music Festival in England. And she had this whole thing where she's like, I'm going to have the crowd be quiet, be silent for 7 minutes. She says she's hoping to have quiet between 175 and 200,000 people. Okay. Let's see. Circa, a British art organization known for situating work on billboards around the globe, is the entity putting on Abramovich's latest stunt, which will take place today. The piece is officially titled 7 Minutes of Collective Silence. How exactly did she accomplish making a rowdy crowd go quiet for so long? She didn't specify. She did, however, visit Stonehenge early this morning to get all the energy she can, per The Guardian, yada, yada, yada. Now, I saw the video on Facebook, and I was like, get out of here. I'm not going to make a concert crowd be silent. And she went up on stage with this white druidic robe, very Stonehenge Glastonbury-ish. And I certainly don't think that crowd was 175,000 people. I mean, call me crazy, but okay. And she asked everyone to be silent. And did it happen? Was it a success? No. I heard some people talking on the video. Even the video, they had a video camera panning around all the silent mouth breather concert goers. You can see people talking. You hear an impact drill going on. Someone's out there building plywood shit shacks or something. Hey, not bad, though, for a music festival. And that's why I won't go to concerts, especially not music festivals. The crowds, the masses, are too much. They're too much. There's no way in hell you're getting that many people to be quiet at a concert. But, you know, not bad. Not bad. Definitely not silence. And also, if you look at the stage, I'll put the photos on the Instagram. If you look at the stage she was on, it was a massive pyramid. So this whole thing is very occult-based. But it was in Glastonbury. What do you expect? But she went to Stonehenge, and the Stonehenge is built in alignment with the summer solstice. Again, you know, the idea that our society is built upon rituals. You see the summer solstice sunrise and the winter solstice sunset, again with the penis power, maximum and minimum. That's how the Stonehenge is built. And, oh boy, do I talk about Twin Peaks more? No. You're either into it or you're not. There's a rapper. His name was Fulio. I never heard the guy before, but he died in June. During the solstice, by the way, June 23rd. Illuminate confirmed. Maybe he got killed for the sun god for penis power. I don't know. He was killed in a Holiday Inn parking lot in Tampa. And there's a fool, you know, rest in peace. I don't know the guy. I don't know if no one deserves to die, right? But he had a single. I looked into him because I was like, who's this guy? Like, cause a lot of the rap type folks were talking about him. He had a single from 2018. It was his first big single, and it was called Voodoo. And I read the lyrics. He says, he talks about the six. All these rap, like the Drake, so we're talking about the six. For him, he was from a gang that had that in the name of the gang, the six blocks or something like that. He says, yeah, six, F it, now I'm playing with that woo. My grandma do voodoo magic. F it, now I'm playing with that woo. We just chopped the head off a goose. I'm just trying to get bigger, staying independent, getting richer. I can't fall a victim to the system. Lil Fulio, a killer. Homie's trying to knock me out the picture, trying to take care of my sisters, provide for my brothers. Shot an N-word, why would I repent? Pull up on the two, I was hit. I don't want to get killed, but F it, bro, I'm really in the field. About my respect, I'll do 100 years. Everything got to stay concealed. I'm a ride till there really ain't no wheels. And if I sign this deal, excuse me, sign a deal, we're talking about the Faustian bargain, just like Matthew Perry did. And in the video, for the music video for Voodoo, it shows him signing a paper, and then it flashes to the Snoop Dogg murder trial for no apparent reason besides, because it doesn't fit in with the video, because Snoop was on trial because it was alleged that he killed a rival gang member, but apparently it was his bodyguard who did it, and then they also convinced the jury that it was in self-defense, and he was acquitted. February 20th, 1996. Now, if you recall, I remember because I was very big into hip-hop at this time. He was in a music video called Murder Was the Case, and it was about the devil signing the Faustian bargain with Snoop Dogg. He had a whole album called Murder Was the Case, I think, didn't he? And, yeah, anyway. So yeah, there was a weird sort of Faustian bargain for Fulio, who died too. He mentions it. He even shows Snoop Dogg's version of it. Oh yeah. Katy Perry, she's back and she's opening portals. She has a new album released, on September 20th and it's called 143. Now I thought that was interesting because she says 143 is her angel number, but growing up in the 90s with a beeper, it, you know, when you had a beeper, you would text numbers. And 143 meant I love you, right? Because the number of characters. And she said, I read this on AOL. Yes, AOL, the website, exists. Who would have thought? A couple years ago, we were going through a little bit of a hard time medically in our family, and it was a little bit scary. And I started seeing 143 in many different ways. Not just like on the phone. It was just like trippy almost, and I looked it up, and it's code for I love you. I really believe it was my angels, my guides, saying I love you. We got you. We're going to protect you. You're exactly where you're meant to be. You're on the path. She had a single, her new single released on 7-Eleven, which we talked about the occult symbolism of 7-Eleven on a Trump show recently. She made a post on Instagram about portals. She said, sleep tight for tomorrow. The portal opens. So, we talk about portals often. I just thought that was interesting because Katy Perry is a very interesting Illuminati confirmed person. She had that Prism album, right? Just happened to release just right when Edward Snowden was talking about the NSA Prism program. So if you Googled Prism, the first thing up was Katy Perry. I thought that was interesting because she's plugged in. Right now, Reddit claims she's in the Schwab family, like Charles Schwab, and the same Schwabs who go to Bohemian Grove. And I looked it up because they're claiming that her mother's brother was a filmmaker named Frank Perry, whose mother was the niece of Charles Schwab. So they're saying that Katy Perry is Charles Schwab's great grandniece. Okay, let's dive into it. Kind of true. Frank Perry was born, to Frank Perry Sr. and Pauline Schwab. And Frank Perry was the director of Mommy Dearest, if you remember that movie. So the question is, was his mother Because it is true, Frank Perry is her uncle. So was Frank Perry's mother, Pauline Schwab, from the Schwab family? Now, I don't know. I'm not an expert, but I couldn't confirm this. I found Pauline Schwab on a family history page. Says her father was Edward Herman Schwab, which does not seem related to the financial family. Says Edward was raised in Loretto, PA, and was an altar boy at St. Michael's. He attended and reportedly taught law at Notre Dame, practiced in South Bend, Indiana. 1910, the young family lived in nearby Meshaqua. Yada, yada, yada. Moved to Chicago. 1918, he and Edith were living in Lehigh, PA, where Edward was an executive with the Silvex Company. Edward's brother Charlie suggested the move to Bethlehem, PA. That's where I was born, in Allentown, PA. Where Edward reorganized several businesses, yada, yada, yada. In 1930, the family was living in Morris Township. It was engaged as a manufacturer of automobile parts. In 1940, Edward was a steel mill executive living in Manhattan, yada, yada, yada. So, she does have Schwab in her bloodline, but I don't think that Schwab. So, debunked, I think. Could be wrong. That's what it looks like. So Katy Perry, more to come from her, right? From the portals. Bebe Rexha, she says she's going to expose the industry. So did Ray J. Let's talk about it. Bebe threatens to bring... This is from Fox News. Bebe Rexha threatens to bring down the music industry. Fears that she will be punished again. She tweeted, "I am frustrated. I have been undermined. I've been so quiet for the longest time. I haven't seen the signs, even though people constantly are bringing them up, and they've been so obvious. And when I've spoken up, I've been silenced and punished by this industry. Things must change, or I'm telling all of my truths, the good, the bad, and the ugly. They will punish you." No, they punish you. This is not coming from a place of anger. It's sadness. I'm sitting in my hotel room in London crying my eyes out. I felt hopeless for the longest time. I've been walking a lot through this city and meeting fans, and they have really ignited something inside of me. All right. So what's that mean? I don't know. Always with the cryptic language. And then Ray J. Now, there's a man with a magical penis. You talk about the Osiris mysteries and Isis fashioning a golden phallus of magic. This is a guy with a magical penis. He's done it all. Now he's threatening to expose the industry. After the BET Awards, he was at an after party with Glorilla, who we previously talked about with all of her Illuminate symbolism and her talking about joining the Illuminati. This is what Ray J said. "I'm really at a breaking point. To provide for my family and have generational wealth was always the plan, but money is evil and people are bad, and I can't take it anymore. These chain of reactions are stemming from being locked in a false reality, confused by this whole life." That's a very Gnostic angle, by the way. "The shit that happened tonight to me at the awards today was hurtful. I'm working backstage and then I go take a break in the back and BET wouldn't let me back in for some reason. I don't know who they didn't want me to see. It was weird." It says in the spill, he continued speaking on his own perception of reality and also claimed that he had been paid to shut up and accept dirty money. He also shared that he was feeling suicidal and also apologized to his sister, Brandy. So, what's going on with Ray J? What's going on with Bebe Rexha? I don't know. More to come, I'm sure. Will they expose the Illuminate? No, they won't. They will talk about it, but they won't. Finally, Eminem, The Death of Slim Shady album. I wanted to do a deep dive into this when it first released, but guess what happened the next day? You know what? They shot... The official story is Trump got an attempted assassination. Now, his ear, I want you to pay attention to that ear. He got shot in the ear, blood all over his face. Within a week, totally healed, no scar tissue, no one's even talking about it. I mean, I'm blown away. I'm like, dude, how did we talk about Sandy Hook for 8 years and conspiracy people myself included, right? Talking about, well, what if it was crisis actors? What if that never really happened? And you've got this strange story where he got shot in the ear is first off insane, but whatever, maybe. But then to, and a massive bandage, and then within a week or 2 weeks, maybe, let's be fair, maybe 2 weeks, nothing? There's not a chunk missing. There's not a scar. It's healed. It's totally fine now. And no one's even talking about it. Was there film footage of the funeral for the shooter, the people who got shot, the fire hero guy? Did any mainstream media cover it? Or are we just moving on? I mean, it's bizarre to me. I mean, the more I think about it, like the conspiracy theorist in me is like, dude, I'm not buying that. I mean, I'm just not. And you could fill in the blanks with whatever you want to think, but I just am like, dude, the official story of what happened there is not adding up. I seen the body cam footage from the police that day. They were going up. The one dude hoists the other cop up on the roof to confront the shooter. And he gets up on the roof and immediately, I guess the shooter had the gun pointed at him and he jumps off and says, oh my God. And he starts freaking out, calling everyone. They're suiting up. There's 100 dudes in Rambo gear and they can't figure out how to get it back up on the roof. Apparently they've got all the assault weapons and body armor that the military uses, but no ladders. I don't know. I don't get it. They spend more time gearing up than doing anything. It's crazy to me. I mean, if you watch the video, I think it was on TMZ, I saw it. Minutes. And I'm thinking, why wouldn't you call the Secret Service and the other people, the FBI, the other police, hey, there's a shooter on the roof. Maybe tell Trump to duck down. Maybe take this guy out. Maybe get a ladder and get on the roof and take him out. I don't know. I'm just saying it doesn't add up. None of it adds up. What's the answer is, I couldn't tell you. I could only speculate. But I'm telling you, that doesn't add up. The fact that his ear is totally fine within a week or two, no one's talking about it. Like, Alex Jones, your political bias is clearly showing here. You talked about Sandy Hook for 10 years with crisis actors and all this stuff, and this one, totally fine. It's weird, is all I'm saying. But anyways, that happened, and then the Olympics, and I was just like, bro, who cares about Eminem anymore? But let's do it, right? It's time to do it. First off, this is a album chocked full of symbolism of the death and rebirth of his alter ego. We talked about this in Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, all these rappers, and look, I like Eminem. So, and I've been wishing he'd done a Slim Shady album for a long time. When it first came out, the first single, Houdini, came out, I was like, I don't know, I'm not impressed. But the more I listen to it, I'm like, all right, this is good. The whole album's really good. I like it. Because I don't like all of Eminem's work. But I like this one. This one's good. And the subtitle, The Death of Slim Shady, is coup de grace. Coup de grace is a death blow. All right? And this concept is about killing his alter ego. And that's a whole topic in and of itself. And the whole album is a conceptual album of Slim Shady versus Eminem. Whatever. And the album cover, it's got the all-seeing eye. You see Slim Shady looking out of a body bag with his one eye, right? So you got that. And like I said, the album releases, and the next day is when Trump got shot. Now, this is interesting because Eminem is definitely not a Trump supporter. He aligns pretty liberally. He made entire songs about George Bush and Donald Trump. He's not a fan. And there's this whole aspect of this album of this culture war sort of thing going on. Because his Slim Shady character is like homophobic and offensive. And, you know, but that's the whole shtick of the guy. Like, you're not supposed to like him. You're supposed to laugh at him because he's so awful, right? He makes fun of Christopher Reeve multiple times. Christopher Reeve's been dead since 2004. And this poor guy went from being Superman to being paraplegic from an accident, and it was kind of a sacred cow because everyone felt bad. I mean, I felt bad for the guy. I'm like, damn, man, that's terrible. Like, I loved Superman as a kid. It was hard to see. as a kid from the 80s watching Christopher Reeve being confined to a wheelchair, I was like, damn, man. Like, it's sobering. But, like, that's what Slim Shady does. He makes fun of everyone. Everyone's getting shots. Low blows, everything. So, of course, the album's chock full of it. He's making fun of Bruce Jenner, using the R word, misogyny, making fun of blind people, deaf people, quadriplegics. It's the whole idea is that he's like, I'm going to say all the things Slim Shady said, and this is going to get me canceled, quote unquote. And people like me, Gen X's, millennials, we think it's funny, right? Because I think no one's above getting made fun of. No one. I've certainly handled a lot of insults, and it's fine. People look at me and they think I'm Jewish. They're like, oh, look at that. I've read these comments. I'm just repeating them, folks. Don't get mad at me. They say, oh, look at that big Jew nose. And it's funny. And it makes me laugh, right? Like, yeah, I got a big nose. Big deal. But yeah, people slander me all the time. And you got to laugh at it. It's like, okay, fine, whatever, dude. Sometimes it's funny. But the young generation, they don't get it. All right? And look, I'm one, I take, I actually try to be somewhat politically correct. Like, I definitely wouldn't want to offend people. I don't use the hard R word. I don't use the soft R word. The N word. Sorry, excuse me. I don't use the N word. I try not to use the R word because, like, I have a, you know, I think I'm what they now define as an ableist, where, like, I feel bad for people who have handicaps mentally, physically. Like, I try to help them if I can, you know, I hold the door open if I can, if you're in a wheelchair or whatever. But, like, I guess they say that's, like, ableist behavior. I don't even get that. I'm like, bro, I'm just trying to, like, help. I don't know. What do you want from me? But anyways, yeah, I guess the younger generation doesn't really think it's funny because you just see this whole raging debate on TikTok, including, like, the liberal. And this is why I don't identify with the Democratic Party. Like, I don't know who liberals are today. Like, it's, like, some whole different thing. I don't get liberals today. They think, I don't know. It's bizarre to me. It's hard when you're, I'm what you would call an anti-authoritarian, disenfranchised liberal, you know? Like, things are just different now. And I'm like, well, I don't identify with either of these insane parties. So anyway, that's what Slim Shady said was going to happen, and that's what happened. So if you look up the tracks, I looked it up on this website, Genius, which is the most diabolically awful website ever. I mean, your computer will have a full-on seizure. You click, everything moves. Now you got to re-find where you were. Oh, it's terrible. I hate it so much. But I was too lazy to go to a different website. So that's my fault. Track called Renaissance. Renaissance means to be reborn. So there's your rebirth symbolism. He references the Cell of Dwellers in Arrested Development, two of my first loves of hip-hop. Then he has a track called Lucifer, which is right after a track called Evil, by the way, which is just about Slim Shady being evil, because, again, it's a whole shtick. And he says, now my followers are like a satanic cult. Yeah, they listen to me like when Manson spoke. They say I don't know struggle no more. That's a joke. Bitch, the effing elevator in my mansion's broke. Now, what's interesting is that Elevator was a separate song he had about living in a house with an elevator. But we know that the elevator is oftentimes tied into symbolism of the devil. You know, see my Prince episodes from whenever he died. That was forever ago. And on Lucifer, he takes shots at Candace Owens. Then he has a track called Antichrist. So you've got Evil, Lucifer, and Antichrist. About how Marshall Mathers is the Antichrist because he's taking shots at wokeness. He makes jokes about Epstein's plane. D12 rapper Bizarre shows up at the end. I'm not a fan. I don't like D12. I don't like Bizarre. I didn't think that it worked. Again, with the idea that these rappers blow up and they try to bring their friends up, and I think it works a little bit, but for me, I didn't like it. There's a track called Fuel. That's a good track on there. I liked it. He references Diddy killing Pac. Says, we can just say I'm like an R-A-P-E-R, got so many S-A's. Wait, did he just spell the word rapper and leave out a P, Diddy? Did he, right? He's always with the triple entendres. R-I-P, rest in peace, Biggie. And Pac, both of y'all should be living, but I ain't trying to beef with him because he might put a hit on me like Keef D get him. So, you know, because that's the stories that Keith D says he shot Tupac at the direction of Diddy. Then he had the Houdini track, which has, of course, Abracadabra as a part of it. We talked about that. If you listen to the Starbucks episodes we did, there's a reference to Abraxas, and Abracadabra is a reference to Abraxas from the Gnostic worldview. And I, you know, I talked about Eminem a lot in my Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic book. So to see the references to magic here, I was like, Illuminate confirm. All day, right? And this is his 11th major studio album, right? If you consider Slim Shady as his first major album, which I do, because technically he apparently had one before he signed with Dr. Dre called Infinite, but that, I don't know, that don't count. But it, so it's his 11th major album, which 11 is the number of magic, right? That's why the letter K is the 11th letter of the alphabet. That's why Crowley added K to the word magic. Also, Houdini's from Detroit, by the way. I didn't know that. Because when I was in Scranton, Scranton has a Houdini Museum, which I thought Houdini was from Scranton. Who would have thought? And then, you know, he just has more of his normal stuff. Guilty Conscious 2, with M and Slim Shady. Again, with the alter egos and the dissociative identity disorder stuff. You know, because having a secret name is very secret society, very ritual magic. They all do it. Adam Weishaupt from the Illuminati had secret names, and his was Spartacus. Then he has a song that references Tobey Maguire, and then he has a Ken Kniff from Connecticut, a whole skit. So, man, that was a lot today. So that was the Eminem album. I didn't know if anyone cared anymore, so I didn't spend more time on it. But I kind of ran through all the lyrics, and I saw, of course, you had themes of ritual magic, you had themes of the occult with secret names, and lots of sort of pop culture conspiracy-related content. Now, look, I want to thank you guys personally. I try to do this every time I do a bonus show, because I mean it. You guys changed my life. Now, because I don't know if you know my whole story, but, like, you know, I maintained the dreaded day job, and I was able to sort of back away from the position I was in and take a lower position that was way less stressful. And you've literally changed my life. So thank you very much for supporting the show. Supporters are what keep the show alive, because this is how I get all the funding to do what I got to do on my end, between buying books and researching and buying movie tickets and rent movies. Like, sometimes I'll rent movies or buy movies, and I can't use it, because I'm like, well, there's not enough in here going on. Like the movie The Watchers I rented, I was like, yeah, I mean, there's like elements here, but I don't know, is it that interesting for me to do a deep dive into it? I don't know. But anyways, yeah, point being, if you support the show, I appreciate you. Thank you very much. I say that from the bottom of my heart. I think about you guys all the time, in the sense that, like, I take notes of everything I see and try to find engaging, interesting content to provide. I try to continue to learn, read books. And I do that because I think about you guys all the time. Of course, as a collective whole, I know it's kind of a weird experience, because it's like, I know some of you is because I talk to you and exchange comments and messages or whatever. You know, I feel the love is what I'm saying. So I appreciate it. Thank you for your support. Yeah, that's all I got. Thank you for your support. I appreciate you guys. Okay, till next time. Stay positive.